Well, good evening all, and welcome to week 11 of C Special 1 Sunbury Men's Business. I'm your podcast host and captain, Mark Foster. Yes, boys, this is a bit of a special podcast this week. As we all know, there was no play across the men's competition due to the grand final eve public holiday. So that's right, boys, it's time for the season review. But before we get to that, let's get some feedback from episode 10, which of course was all about the one game victory over ladder leaders Tullamarine. Club Canadian simply stated, "Well done, mate." Yes, well done to me. I presume, Eric, that is in relation to the podcast. I definitely know I haven't done anything outside of tennis lately to merit a well done, so I will take it. Stilesy, again, chipped in with some feedback. "Great win, guys, but now I feel we need to be a bit nicer to Ashley on a Wednesday, as you seem to have the sledging of him under control on Thursday." Stilesy, I tell you what, I can imagine the boys having a chuckle after listening to that feedback. Please, under no circumstances, let this serial pest off the leash. It is one's civic duty, especially on a Wednesday night, to absolutely get stuck into him off court and most notably on court as well. We all know the hitman's got a huge concentration problem on the court. Well, I think it's fair to say, boys, if you think he's got a huge problem in relation to not looking on his own court on a Thursday, then it's an even bigger problem on a Wednesday in the NSNTA Mixed Cup, of course. Now, I can't imagine why, but it is. Under no circumstances, Stilesy, should he ever be let off. We all know the man loves it, he thrives on it, and for good measure, it actually makes him feel relevant. Now, the Swedish chef was back to his analytical best and had this absolute gem to say. "Well, what a pleasant surprise hearing you boys knock off the previously undefeated Tullamarine. The late inclusion of Harding appeared to be a blessing in disguise. However, I do believe the captain is taking far too much credit for the lineup on the night. Listening to this podcast and the summary of how it was played, I was then staggered to hear Clark finish bottom with the votes. The poor bugger is on hand listening to you pump up his tyres, then he gets a puncture, polling so poorly. It really is sending out mixed messages, and I think your polling system of simply games won or lost needs to be looked at. When the result was on the line, he lifted, and you boys got the chocolates, and this needs to be reflected with the Audi Player of the Year. Another thing I didn't see coming was the spray the host or the captain gave the St Kilda Football Club. My word, he didn't hold back, did he? Obviously, he hasn't had too much to cheer about since following them in the early 70s, but rarely have I heard about him speak about his Saints like that. Speaking of football, I hope the week F doesn't affect your momentum like Richmond. Wasn't that nice to see? And you can back up in your next outing." Well, boys, that is exactly what the old captain here wants to hear. That was one hell of a text message I got. Kudos to the Swedish chef. He does love to tell it how it is. As do I. So I'm only going to address the parts, Scott, that I could really be bothered with, mate. So not much. Firstly, I don't think the boy listened too hard. Tullamarine were already defeated once before our clash, but I won't hold that against him. As for the captain taking too much credit, well, I don't reckon I've taken enough, to be honest. Harding and Taylor clearly get the irrits with each other in their first set of the night, so making them play the fourth set worked a treat, as they were both warm and steamrolled their opponents accordingly. Taylor and I fire up early together, so I got that matchup right, and as for Taylor and Clark in the last, they usually go nicely together. So, my boy, it was a correct call. Let's face it, if I'd gone the normal lineup, I think we would have got done. So I'm going to take it, because I've got more tactics up my sleeve this week too, which will obviously pay off. Now, the voting system is an interesting one. The reason Clark only got the one was that, much like your beloved Cats in their final, Swedish Chef, he wasn't sighted in the first half hour. He'll tell you himself he was ordinary in both sets. The four votes given each week is for the guy that pretty much smashes his opponent in all sets, not just coming home with a wet sail, very much like Mr. Clark did against Tullamarine. Taylor easily dominated his opponent for the night, so he gets the four. As for the Saints pop, copping and pasting, well, I call it how I see it. And just for you boys, I haven't finished with them just yet. Finally, the hitman. God bless him, piped up as usual with, "I just threw up with all the praising of Clark and didn't see the rant on the Saints coming. Do you feel better now?" Now I'll answer the boy with the following about Clark. The boys will get praised when they go above and beyond to influence the end result. No question young Matthew and Eric got the job done when they needed to. The boy Clark in particular lifted when he had to. So if he needs to get thrown a bone occasionally, then by golly he'll get the bone and anything else that's on special from the butchers. As for the rant on the Saints, well, I've only just begun. So, with last week's stuff out the way, let's look forward to what's coming up in this episode. This one is all about the mid-season review. We'll see who's really lifted from this time last year, have another look at the Audi Australia Player of the Year, along with who's got the best overall scores. We'll find out which three couples are currently having the best bromances of the season with a new sponsor, along with two couples who definitely need to book in for therapy as soon as possible in the It's Not Me, It's You segment. And we'll preview next week's clash against Royal Park. So, the mid-season review. As per last week's podcast, we are currently sitting fifth on percentage, 6 points off the top, which of course is currently being held by Tullamarine. St John Bosco and Keilore sit second and third, 2 points from Tullamarine and four in front of us, with Dudigalla fourth, 2 points ahead of us. The fact we've only beaten one of the top four teams is a little bit of a concern. However, I do note that we have home games against Keilor East and Dudigalla, and they've only won a combined 3 away games so far this season. Started off the season with a comfortable smashing against Royal Park, just fell short against Keilor East and St John Bosco, and then got smashed by Dudigalla away. Then the rain came against Greenvale. Maybe it was the break we needed because we've come back nicely in the last 2 weeks and are right back in this competition. As I said last week, there's six teams within 6 points, making it the tightest section in the whole of the NSNTA. 3.5 wins out of 7. This time last season we had 2 wins including a default, so I still maintain we can win 5 of the last 7. That should put us top 4, and as we know in finals, anything can happen. And one of the main reasons for the improvement, and boys, I say it every week, is the short couple of coaching lessons that Mr. Tennis, David Thuma, gave us. So I thought to myself, how can I actually measure these results? Then it occurred to me, after about 5 minutes, stats, boys, stats. I've got them coming out of my proverbial this week. Took me 3 days to get through this all, so I'll tell you what, you're all going to have a listen, even you, Harding. These stats make cracking listening. I've sat down and what I've done is compared the completion of round 7 from last season to the completion of round 7 this season, and my oh my, there are some very, very interesting trends going on. So I'm going to go through each player as quickly as possible. Ashley Harding is first up. This time last year, he was 9 games up, which was excellent considering how abysmal we were. Interestingly enough, this time is 1 game better than this time last year, 10 up. ET, definitely in my book the man who's getting the job done week after week this season. This time last season, up 3. This season, up 6, so there is an increase of 3 games. Matthew Clark. Now this is where Dave's coaching has really come into its own and he's helped Matt out. This time last season, Matt was down a whopping 29 games. Now, even though he's still in the negative at minus 12, there's an improvement of 17. Well done, Matthew, young fella. Keep cracking in, mate. Next is the captain, Mark Foster. Got smashed early last season and this time was minus 15. Now sitting positive 3 games, so there is an improvement of 18. And last but not least, Lachlan Smith. Take a bow, champ. I was staggered to see that this time last season he was sitting at positive 1. He is now sitting at positive 20 for the season, which is an improvement of 19. Now nobody, absolutely nobody who's been coached by David has gone backwards this season. It's an absolute credit to you all, but remember one thing, as the great man Kenny Sheldon once said, you can kick up a rumpus, but don't lose sight of the compass. Now, I do have to make special mention of the gourmet sausage, Laurie Reynolds. Now, we all know he's had to make the huge step down of 8 sections, which is not easy, of course, for anyone. He's had a tough trot with us the first couple of games he's played, but I'm confident he can really, really make a go of it in the second half of the season. It's fair to say he struggled with that injury to his hand, and his form and confidence may not be where he'd like it to be. At this point in time, he's currently negative 26, but it's actually an improvement of 13 games from where he was in his grade last season. So, boys, let's all give him the encouragement we give each other, which could be a pretty bad thing now I've actually thought about it. Anyway, I'm sure he's still got time to click into gear, and we hope he does. So, let's have a quick recap of the Audi Australia Player of the Year Award from 6th to 1st. So, the leaderboard is as follows. In 6th place is Laurie on 3.5. Matty Clark on 8.5, sitting 5th. Ashley Harding, 9.5 on 4th. Lockie Smith on 10, sitting 3rd. Mark Foster sitting 13 votes on 2nd, with ET 15.5 votes on 1st. With Taylor out this week, it gives everyone a chance to get closer to put pressure on him when he returns the week after. Audi Australia, my word, what a fine piece of German automobile excellence it is. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, I hear you ask. Only if the German language has one word, Audi. Speaking of Germany, did you know you could fill up an Audi and it would get you from Sunbury to Harndorf in South Australia without having to refuel? Yes, boys, that's just under 700 kilometres. It's a long way to go and have a look at a cuckoo clock or two. Yes, you know what I'm about to say, boys. If you've never driven an Audi, then chances are you don't own one or know anyone who does or ever will. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Audi. Get one now. Now, thanks to a new sponsor, Araluen Park Cottages, all the way over in Lakes Entrance, it's time to look at the current best bromances for the season with the get a room segment. Currently, there are 3 outstanding partnerships, and they are the following. In 3rd place with a positive figure of +8, it's the Hitman and Lachlan Smith. Coming in 2nd at the minute is ET and the Captain with a positive figure of +10. And the current clubhouse leaders, if you like, are the Keyman and the Captain with a positive of +12. These two boys have only dropped one game in 2 sets, and it must be due to the fact they can't stand each other and want to get off the courts as quickly as possible. Now, there's no prize for this at the end of the season, boys, although maybe there should be. Nope, just the prize of that warm, fuzzy feeling of memories of destroying the opposition. Araluen Park Cottages in Lakes Entrance. I'll tell you what, boys, the good lady wife and I stayed there for our 1-year anniversary this weekend, and I have to tell you, it was top-notch. Located a few minutes outside of Lakes Entrance, it's set in very, very peaceful surroundings. No noise to speak of. A lovely fireplace and the cabin was cracking. Nice and spacious with a couple of crazy alpacas out the front who couldn't be bothered doing anything else except looking at us and chewing their cud. Special thanks to Peter and Marie Ann Murrell as they have done a bang-up job with building their cabins. Yes, Lakes Entrance, what a wonderful place it is. Of course, Lakes Entrance is Aboriginal for fish and chip shops. Whether you just want to get away for a few days, whether it's bird watching or going on an eco-cruise to find the magnificently rare Burunan dolphin, or even heading over to the Buchan Caves, that's right, Buchan, or looking at cuckoo clocks in nearby Ormeo, Lakes Entrance is a magnificent part of Victoria. Araluen Park Cottages, book it now. Now, thanks again to Yes, the St Kilda Football Club, it's time to have a look at the current standings in the It's Not Me, It's You segment. And there are 2 standout partnerships that have definitely got to lift their game, namely Foster and Clark at -7 and Foster and Reynolds at -12. Definitely no prize going on for this one, just the humility of knowing that it is absolutely deplorable tennis. Boys, I have a message for you. I do not want to be at the top of this list at the end of the season, nor does anyone else, so it's time for the fingers to be formally pulled out. St Kilda Football Club, Just when I think they can't get any dumber, they announce that Dean Kent of Melbourne wants to sign a 3-year deal. Magnificent work, St Kilda. You just delist Nathan Freeman, who's had his injury woes, and try and entice a bloke over who's had 2 years, yes, 2 years of injury woes himself. Well played, Peanuts. In addition, I also believe the biggest peanut of the club, Mr. Personality himself, Alan Richardson, stated at the best and fairest, "We can't control our ladder position." Is he, fair dinkum, the dumbest ever coach you have ever heard? No shit, Sherlock, you can't control your ladder position. I'm thinking winner helps you, you utter, utter fraud of a coach. Just sit there earning your overinflated salary, selling your snake oil crap to a delusional board that is not even game enough to move you on. 5 years with a 33% success record, absolutely inexcusable for a professional football club. Oh yes, I hear you say, the Dogs in Richmond have won 2 flags in the last 2 years. You can turn it around. No, no, no. This club cannot and will not. A weak board, not smart enough to make the right decision and turf this walking advertisement for laxatives out. Once again, the board and management down at Moorabbin or Seaford or Tasmania or New Zealand or wherever the hell the club wants to base itself, prides itself on deflection and stuff all accountability. Puts the club through this honest, thorough review, except for the frickin' coach. Extremely weak as piss. Then they allow the coach to put all the blame squarely at the feet of the players in his best and fairest speech. There is absolutely no development going on down there whatsoever. I could name so many players that have gone backwards under this fraud of a coach. Genuinely inept, gutless performance from absolutely everyone down there. If they were a private company, they would be slammed by the shareholders and probably liquidated. Maybe they should be. I'm frustrated, annoyed, and pissed off. But now, I feel better. So come on, boys, please let me get me off this topic so I don't suffer a stroke. Nominate me a business that shits you like no other, and I'll go to town on them. Now, thanks to Pop Mummy Australia, it's time to have a look at the upcoming fixtures for Round 8 and make some predictions. Merlin still will be up against it as they host Tullamarine, who will be keen to bounce back. Keilor East host Greenvale, who got their first win of the season last week against Royal Park. And in the game of the round, which is effectively an 8-point game, St John Bosco host Doodagala. So my predictions this week, boys, are Tullamarine, Keilor East and St John Bosco to get that win. Now that very quick segment was proudly sponsored by Pop Mummy Australia. Hey everyone, the only thing predictable about Melbourne's weather is that it is unpredictable. It can be a warm, sunny day, and in the blink of an eye, the sky is spitting rain and hail. This, of course, leads me to the question. What on earth can we do for our best friends in the world? Those crazy canines who can't get out for a walk because the owners don't want to take them out. Well, now thanks to Pop Mummy Australia, or should I say Pup Mummy Australia, they can. Yes, and I kid you not, boys and girls. Now your pet can have its own umbrella and you can walk it around without getting the pooch drenched. We do love our dogs, doggone it. And we know you love them too. Get them their own umbrella now for just $20. Am I ready? Am I ready to say the price again? Yes, I am. Just $20. That is arf about of what you may pay elsewhere. I think that this could be quite popular amongst the dog lovers. I've got more, boys. For more items, check out the Pop Mummy Australia Facebook page. You know you want to, especially after giving a plug for that one. Pop Mummy Australia, go there now. Rightio, after that dog's breakfast of an effort, this week sees us back to the start of the order, Royal Park away. Royal Park are currently sitting on 1 win, although the only win was against Tullamarine, then suffered a shock loss last week to bottom place Greenvale. So it looks like their season's been all over the place. Now, Royal Park have used 6 players so far, with their best player, Nicholas Adam, having a difference of +5 for the season. Their worst performing player is Aiden McGuinness with a -38. One thing to note, boys, although they've only won the one game, they performed pretty well in the first two sets and are sitting at 7-5. Their two worst sets are sets 3 and 4, where they've got a 3-9 record. Now, as most of us are aware, their courts are, well, interesting to say the least. Onto car surface with the uneven bounce, and the ball has the propensity to fly off the lines. Now, most of the Royal Park boys hit the ball with a lot of slice, I should say. So it'll be coming back thick and fast onto the racket. Now, I'm tipping if we can get the first two sets, as I always do, I can't see Royal Park getting back into this one. We should win this. It's a real banana skin of a fixture. But I know if we stick to what we've been doing, especially the last 2 weeks of competition, we should be getting the chocolates this week. Out for this week from round 7 is Taylor, with Smith coming back into the side. A win this week will propel us into the top 4, so we hear them hard, get off to that cracking start, and keep the pressure on them all night. Well, that'll do it for this week. No poll question, because I really couldn't be stuffed. Along with this podcast, actually. Anyway, I will, however, leave you with this little perler. On the September the 29th in 1977, the American record producer Miko had this little beauty go straight to the top of the charts. For all you Star Wars fans, you will undoubtedly love it. So until next week, boys, good night. Good luck.